Morning. Well, when I was asked to choose which Sundays I'd be happy to preach on, I normally actually choose them based on how school's going and what I think my workload's going to be at the time. And I had the silly idea that by the end of the academic year, because we've only got 2 weeks to go, that things would be calming down. Yeah, it's not. But that's a different story. But what I hadn't considered was the fact that we'd actually be at the start of Advent. And so when I was talking with Paul about what the readings were going to be, and I found out that it was actually Mary's song, I immediately thought that I could preach about rainbows and unicorns and all those happy things. You know, think Sound of Music and just sort of joyous and fluffy bunnies and all that sort of thing. Wasn't quite going to be along those lines, but it was going to be around the excitement of baby Jesus' arrival, the festivity of the season, and how Christmas is so magical for so many people. But God had different ideas. And the more I read the passage, the more God convicted my heart to actually speak about his miracles and whether we truly believe that they can happen to us. And so, as is always the case when I prepare a sermon, God is trying to teach me something I need to hear. And so I just hope that you also feel God speaking to you, to your spirit. So, question for you. Deep down, do you actually believe that miracles happen only in the Bible and only to other people, but not actually to us? So I want to start with the biggest miracle of all, Jesus' death and resurrection. And there's number one. He did that for you. We all know that the Jews were expecting a king who would declare war, and the Romans create a whole new world for them, come in, take everything over. But 2,000 years of history and reflection allows us to see that, yeah, it was never going to happen that way. God's way is counterintuitive to our way often. And as you'll have seen in the Mark reading, Jesus took his disciples to one side and spoke plainly to them about what was going to happen. He would suffer, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. In fact, this was not the first time he tried to tell them this, nor it was the last. And you would have thought that when Jesus said something, his disciples would be astute enough to know that he doesn't just make stuff up for the fun of it, that it's actually definitely true. Yet we see Peter taking Jesus to one side and, well, giving him a bit of a telling off. And I can just imagine Peter saying to Jesus, "Don't be so stupid. That can't possibly happen." I mean, Peter gets a swift rebuke back, but he's not the only one to have questioned a word from God, even when it's quite obvious that God is speaking directly to them. I mean, look at Zechariah in verse 18, which we saw last week. When the angel spoke to him, he said, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." You would have thought that an angel telling you that they had a message from God was enough to convince you that whatever they were about to say was going to be true. I mean, even Mary didn't get it straight away, because if we look at verse 34, she says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I'm a virgin." And there are many, many instances throughout the Bible where God makes a promise to someone and their first reaction is to say, "That's impossible." I mean, think Abraham, Sarah, Moses, just to name a few. So is that our first reaction to a word from God that doesn't make sense in the earthly realm? And therefore, what are we missing out on because we believe it's too impossible, even for God? Now, I'm sure, like me, you love listening to the miraculous stories that other people have to share. Miracles of healing, being rescued from dangerous situations, being spared from ending up in tragedy. Yet we can often sit back and think, that's great for them, but it wouldn't happen to me. So I want you to think back. Maybe 10 years, maybe 20, maybe 50. Think about the person you were then, the situations you were in, the people you were with. Now think about who you are today, what you have in your life, and the people you get to share that with. For most, you can probably say that God has worked a miracle on you, changing you from the person you used to be into the person you are today. And I can certainly say God has worked a miracle on me. 6 years ago, almost to the day, my husband walked out. And I discovered that he'd done some quite terrible things and spent most of the previous 17 years lying to me. And I was beyond devastated. My whole world collapsed and I was not in a very good space. And I can remember my prayer each night was actually, Lord, please don't let me wake up in the morning. I couldn't see how I was going to get through the next moment, never mind a whole day. But somehow God held my hand and guided me through that. And that was miraculously enough in itself. But if I look back now, I can see that God rescued me from a bad situation and he's changed me beyond comprehension. I was a scared, lost, frightened and anxious young woman who was just getting by in her marriage and it wasn't living. At the time, I didn't know any different and just assumed that this was how life had to be. And if you'd told me at that time that these things would happen to me, but that God would use that to grow me into, which is what hopefully is, the confident, happy, peaceful young woman stood before you, who has a much deeper relationship with God than I ever thought was possible, I would have laughed at you and told you to stop being so stupid. It was a miracle indeed. So can you see a similar story over your life? Can you think of people in your life who you once thought were so lost they were beyond redemption, but God has drawn them near and now that they're changed? And probably the most passionate Christians you know. And a miracle doesn't have to be an instant answer to prayer, although it can be. But our God is in the miracle business, and sometimes we need to open our eyes to see them. So what miracle are we missing out on? Because we cannot see how it could possibly happen. Have you had a word from God about where he's leading you, and your response has been, don't be so stupid. If we look at Mary, Mary's unhesitating acceptance to what the angel told her showed her devout and obedient character. She was willing to risk disgrace and divorce to comply with God's command. But Mary wasn't sinless either, and she acknowledged her need of a saviour. Would we do the same? And if we look at Mary's song, which has a similar theme to Hannah's prayer of rejoicing in 1 Samuel chapter 2, which 2 weeks ago, like on cue, the rockets and the firework stars were looking at the prayer that Hannah said first, which is in 1 Samuel 1, her prayer of anguish, where she's crying out to the Lord for a child. So is that where we're stuck? Crying out to God for an answer, but not fully believing it's possible. Don't you want to move into that prayer of rejoicing because your miracle has happened? How great do you believe our God is? Is he big enough to do the impossible for you? For it says in our reading, verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. Now, just to give you a little bit of context and some other people, the good old BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, who you may have seen world news and are very reliable, commissioned a survey and asked some of the British public about miracles. So on the screen, you'll be able to see some of the findings from their survey. And like every good teacher, I will not read to you what is on the screen because you're more than capable of reading it yourself. And there was one statistic that didn't fit on the end of the slide. 37% of Christians have never prayed for a miracle. So, do you recognize yourself in any one of those groups? So what is my challenge for you today? I'm not saying that we should all start praying for a miracle and with a click of our fingers, everything's going to have a happy ending. We know God doesn't work like that. Often he wants to change us more than our situation. And we grow so much through our trials, through the waiting, and in that wilderness, that in some ways that may be an even bigger miracle. But are we limiting God because our faith is not big enough? Do our doubts get in the way of allowing God to do some miraculous things? As it says in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed around by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? So what can we do to build our faith and trust that our God is big enough to deal with any situation we might face? Well, one thing we can do is look back at his faithfulness, how his word has never failed, and how God really does have our best interests at heart. And if I just pick a bit from Psalm 77. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. So let's believe in a mighty God, a powerful God, one who is just waiting for us to give him that last bit of our heart so that he can truly act in miraculous ways. We have a hope for the future that despite how desperate circumstances may be, nothing is impossible. And in Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And in Mark 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Sounds easy, but I know it's not, especially if you have to wait a really long time. Doubts creep in. And you start to wonder whether you really did hear from God or whether you were just making it up. Whether God is really big enough to sort it out or whether you're not worthy enough to have that blessing. Those thoughts are not from God. As Jesus reminds us in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And certainly this is something I've been struggling with recently and probably why I got prompted to write the words I did. About 3 years ago, God put something on my heart that was very left field. And at the time, I wasn't happy about it. And I was one of those saying, don't be so stupid. Not only was it an idea I thought that I would never have myself, because it's just not in my remit, but it seemed completely impossible. And in fact, I counted seven different ways that made it completely impossible. But through reading my Bible and praying about it, I settled into the thought that God knows what's best. Many times since then, I've questioned God and said, are you sure this is what you want me to do? It still seems crazy, still completely impossible. And then 18 months ago, something changed, and not for the better. It was that final nail in the coffin. If it was impossible before, now it was beyond hopeless. And I have to admit, I had a bit of a paddy. And I kind of got quite angry at God. I might have yelled at him quite a bit, as I felt he'd led me on this wild goose chase and wasted all my time. And my time was precious time, and yeah, I wasn't in a good space. I wanted out. After I'd calmed down, which did take quite a few weeks, and started talking to God a little bit more politely, I began to realize that maybe I didn't have all the answers, and that all God was asking me to do was trust him. So I found myself saying, I know you know better than me. So either release me from this or fix it. There seemed to be no conceivable way that things would change, but I said I'd wait a little bit more. It took a whole year, but then I did find out some news, which took me completely by surprise. And it was not how I'd expected, and certainly not what I'd have wished on anyone. But that impossibility had been overcome. So only 6 small mountains to go. So we need to be bold in what we ask for. We need to be brave when we hear God nudging our heart. We need to believe our God is a great God who can do the impossible. And as God does work in a number of different and mysterious ways, funnily enough, my Bible devotion this morning was all about God and his miracles. And so the last 2 sentences I thought I'd share with you as well. We honour God when we ask the impossible. Impossible is what the God of Christmas does best. So as Jesus says himself in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And from our reading today, verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So yeah, then I obviously knew God was up to something when he prompted me to talk on miracles. And just last week, I found out that 2 more of those mountains have been swept away and a couple more are reduced to a little hill. I mean, there's still a long way to go, but God is acting. Although, funny enough, 2 days after that, there was some other news and we just take another step back, just a peg or two, but pushing those doubts aside, believing that God has it under control and that nothing is impossible to him. So I want us to finish today with a new passion for believing that God is ready to perform miracles in your life. In actual fact, he's probably halfway through one right now. Have you been holding back, thinking that it's too hard for God? Are you ready to take that leap of faith and tell that mountain to move out of the way? So let's pray with expectant hearts and believe that Mary's song will become our song in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. And I just want to read you Mary's song again, but this time taken from the Message Bible, because it does give you a different slant on things. I'm bursting with God's news. I'm dancing the song of my Saviour God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. So Lord, we thank you that you are a mighty, powerful God and that nothing is impossible for you. We ask boldly that you would move those mountains in our lives and make the impossible possible. We thank you for what you're about to do. And just to close, from Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, again from the Message Bible. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes.